My guest at this time is former Virginia Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli. He is now president of the Senate Conservatives Fund. We want to get his reaction to Wednesday night's presidential debate at the Reagan Library. We also want to find out what he expects from congressional Republican leaders as we get close to the end of the fiscal year. And Mr. Cuccinelli, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, it's good to be with you on Constitution Day.
Mr. Cuccinelli joins us from Mount Vernon today as a result of Constitution Day. Sir, some of the candidates got upset last night that the debate focused too much on reacting to things that other candidates had said and not enough on policy, although it did go for 3 hours and many topics eventually were touched upon. How substantive did you think it was?
Well, I would agree with that critique, and that critique most applied to the first hour. I also think 3 hours is frankly just too much. If you just got rid of the first hour, it would have been a superb debate. Even with it, it was still good, it was still valuable, but I do agree. You know, they had talked about, well, we want a Lincoln-Douglas style. I think CNN's idea of Lincoln-Douglas style is just the fact that candidates talk to each other. You know, there was no moderator turning to Senator Douglas saying, you know, Lincoln says you're short and fat like a fire plug. What do you think of that? And, hey, Mr. Lincoln, Senator Douglas says you're a big, tall, ugly gorilla. What do you think of that? I mean, if that's their idea of a Lincoln-Douglas debate, it would be nice to be able to transport them back there and maybe get a little peek at it. And it was a lot more substantive. And eventually they got to substance, thankfully. But I think the candidates have a legitimate criticism there.
How well do you think conservative principles were articulated Wednesday night?
We obviously have candidates who disagree on some things. You expect that. There's nobody you agree with 100%. And I think there was once they got to substance, a number of them did particularly well in that area. And just sort of from left to right, I think the ones who did really well in that area were Rand Paul, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz. Let's see, kind of got to skip the middle. Fiorina, Kasich more resume, and then Christie on some items, particularly where he was contrasted with Rand Paul. I think they did the most to advance principles. You know, there were some, as there always are, there are some missed opportunities by various candidates. But those folks did well, and I think Rand probably improved the most from the first debate. Obviously, Carly made it into this upper debate. For the four who were in the lower tier debate, while Governor Jindal, quite thankfully, from my perspective, said words to the effect of, why do we have a Republican Congress if they're not going to fight for these things? And then Lindsey Graham sounded like, you know, he wanted to keep the war footing we were on for 10 years going, which I just don't, I think we were worn out as a country on that. But otherwise, the guys in the lower debate, the fact that they were not in the upper debate, I think is really, really, really closing them out right now. And that's going to continue to have an effect on winnowing the field.
We're talking with Ken Cuccinelli, president of the Senate Conservatives Fund, former attorney general in Virginia. Sir, you can address this either as yourself individually or as the leader of the Senate Conservatives Fund. What are you looking for in a nominee? What priorities or principles or what positions on specific issues do you think are most critical in this election cycle?
Well, Senate Conservatives Fund is going to be busy and active in supporting candidates for the U.S. Senate, but we're not going to get into the presidential race. I, of course, am a conservative Republican. I have my own views. And one thing that I have been telling people in Virginia for 2 years that I think needs to be a very important new consideration is we need a president who will show up and rip the place out by the roots without apology. And it's amazing to now see the Trump phenomena, which is based very much on that. At least the people who are supporting him want that. Interestingly, he's not a conservative, but he is very anti-establishment. So he is really generating his support on the anti-establishment side. He's ticking all the right people off, you know, and that is a major additional consideration for me beyond just getting a conservative, which I think is critically important as well. I mean, you can wreck the place, but what are you going to build afterwards? Is it going to be something based on the vision of this country and the first principles? As I stand here talking to you from Mount Vernon, where we're talking about exactly the initial building of this country, that's what I want to see out of the next president. And I think we have a very high quality field on the Republican side, and there are many candidates who might fill that bill.
Let's shift from the 2016 campaign to fiscal year 2016, because that officially starts on October 1st. And over the next couple of weeks, we are going to be seeing the final touches, most likely, put on spending bills for 2016. Right now, the Republicans, of course, have the majority, big majorities in the in the House and Senate.
Greg, I hadn't noticed.
And one of the things we heard early on from folks who I think had good intentions back when the budget blueprint was put together back in the spring was we're going to have regular order appropriations bill by appropriations bill. The Senate Democrats refused to play along with that. And so it looks like we're probably headed towards another omnibus. Before we get into some of the specifics of what's contained in that legislation, what do you make of the Republican assumption at this point that the best we can do is a continuing resolution?
That's silly. The habit by Boehner and McConnell of preemptive surrender is really just devastating to America and to the people who helped elect these majorities in that order. I mean, this is bad for America, let's face it. And when they preemptively surrender, as they keep doing, Boehner is disheartening everyone. There may be a chance to unseat him. I expect there will be a chance to unseat him, and I hope your listeners will call their congressman and say, I want you to vote Boehner out, because that is probably going to happen in the next month or so based on the failures that Boehner is essentially walking into, and quite voluntarily. Mitch McConnell is the king of preemptive surrender. They don't even want to make the president veto bills, for instance, that defund Planned Parenthood. They don't even want to do it. And they just accept that he's going to veto it. It's like the filibusters on Iran. Make the Democrats stand up there for hour after hour and defend Iran. Defending Iran. Can you believe we're saying this, Greg? Make them do it. Where's the guts on this? And frankly, where are the brains? I mean, this is a no-brainer. To make them defend this. If they want to have this position, make them own it. It's the same as funding Planned Parenthood. The more people, Americans, know about what's going on with Planned Parenthood and these videos and so forth, the less supportive they are of continuing that funding. Just divert it to other health clinics. There's nothing, you don't even have to take it out of health care. So that becomes a non-issue. And if the other side wants to defend that, these are 80-20, 70-30 issues for us, and we're right. We're morally right. We are right in terms of good governance. This is right in terms of limited government. It is right in terms of being consistent with the vision of the founders. I mean, this is right in every way. So why don't we have leadership in John Boehner and Mitch McConnell who can find one vertebrae between them? Maybe they can trade it off every day if they can borrow one, and start fighting for these principles. You know, that's what we're looking for in the Senate Conservatives Fund. That's what we expect of the people we support. That's why our members support them to get elected. And we're just hoping that whether they win or lose, they at least follow through on what they said they were going to do in 2014. And by the way, that includes Mitch McConnell. And that is fight this president on these principles.
Let me have you respond to a couple of points that they make to defend their strategy. One, which McConnell has said over and over again, is that he will absolutely not have a government shutdown, because there's no way that the Republicans can win that PR fight, particularly where the media consistently lines up on that issue. And so he says, ultimately, even if we're right on the issue, we're going to take a bloodbath when it comes to the public relations on the issue. How do you respond to that?
I appreciate you phrasing it that way. I mean, just listen to what you said. We'll look bad, we'll feel bad, even if we're right. How about if you just fight for what's right? How about that? I mean, it doesn't even occur to him to do the right thing. I'm a litigator. I'm a negotiator by profession. President Obama, as we've seen with Iran, is an awful negotiator. He's just terrible at it. But John Boehner and Mitch McConnell make him look brilliant. They make him look brilliant by comparison. These guys broadcast to the president that they will roll over for virtually anything. I mean, the proper question for McConnell and Boehner is, what will you fight for? What will you make him veto? What will you stick to and not advance a bill to the president's desk for? What is the limit that you're willing to go to in your surrendering? And we haven't seen the outer limit of their willingness to surrender yet. It's really quite infuriating.
Another line that they bring up, of course, Mr. Cuccinelli, is, okay, let's say we do pass a budget that doesn't include funding for Planned Parenthood, and the president vetoes it. We don't have the votes to override the veto. Do we then give him what he wants and just point out the fact that he was willing to shut down the government over this? Does the shutdown continue? How do you play it if, in fact, you go that route and get the president's veto?
You don't have to override the veto. You send another budget, and it can be the same. It can be the same. They can make adjustments, say, for, you know, we're talking about Planned Parenthood, but there's also defunding some of the Iran deal. There's sanctuary cities. If it were me and I sent him a budget that defunded Planned Parenthood and he vetoed it and came back, I'd then send a budget that defunded Planned Parenthood and sanctuary cities. And if he vetoed that, I'd then send him a budget that defunded sanctuary cities, Planned Parenthood, and the Iran deal. You get the idea. You get the idea. So that he's going to pay a higher cost in the things he wants that the American people support us 70-30, 80-20 in, and make him shut it down. I mean, it is amazing the mentality so many of these Republicans have talked themselves into, as if they're shutting down the government. 2 points on that. One, the president's doing it, not them. Their job is to send them a budget. They do it. Then if he vetoes it, he's shutting down the government. Two, it's really not shutting down the government. I mean, I live in Northern Virginia near the Pentagon. The military keeps getting paid. Benefits keep going out. You know, the last time something like this happened, the president sent people over to the World War II memorial to throw veterans out rather than just leave it alone. You know, so they go to extensive efforts, spend more money to try to make life less convenient for some of the most deserving Americans. And then point at them and say, see how awful it is, the government's being shut down. This is awful lot of hype, and the surest way to lose is to surrender before the fight. I mean, the analogy I think of is war. You can end a war very, very quickly. You can achieve peace. All you have to do is surrender. That's all you have to do. The old joke about, you know, buying a French rifle on eBay, never fired, dropped once. That's Mitch McConnell. That's John Boehner. And this is not what they told voters they were going to do if they achieved a majority in leadership.
Exit question. Do you think that there's likely to be any change in strategy, or do you expect Boehner and McConnell to do what?
I think it is possible there could be a change in strategy. When you saw what happened with the House and the Iran deal, they changed strategy because the conservatives in that caucus forced them to. If a senator put in a resolution to approve the Iran deal as a treaty, and McConnell brought it to the floor, of course it wouldn't get two-thirds of the votes. And I think I would like to see Senator Cotton do that. Of course, I would expect him to then vote against his own resolution to approve it as a treaty. But then it will have been identified by both houses as a treaty and rejected by the Senate, which has province over treaties. And you could immediately be in court with the president for a preliminary injunction to stop the implementation of the Iran deal immediately. That's easy. It's easy. You don't even have to win any votes. You just have to hold them, even if it's filibuster that gives the Senate, it puts the Senate in the posture where that litigation is available to them. It's easy. It takes nothing more than McConnell's willingness to do it. That's all it takes. And senator who will put the resolution in, and I would think that would be quite easy. I do think tactics can change, but they aren't going to change unless the people of this country call their Republican senators and Mitch McConnell and beat them over the head to get a change. And if they call House members and say, look, in addition to changing all this, I want you to change the speaker, get rid of John Boehner. And I want to urge your listeners to do that, please, to call their congressional members from their state and tell them we want a new speaker. We want someone who's going to actually lead and do what he says he was going to do. John Boehner has broken a lot of promises that he made when he told us what he would do if he became speaker. And America's suffering for it. And the same is true with Mitch McConnell. There's a lot of room for improvement here. And I don't believe anyone's beyond redemption, and I don't believe anybody, including McConnell and Boehner, can't be dragged over to doing the right thing on one issue or another, hopefully all of them. So I don't want to ever say that I've given up hope. And certainly the members of the Senate Conservatives Fund keep calling. They donate to the candidates who get punished, like Mark Meadows, for instance, over in the House. And we're going to keep supporting folks who fight for these principles.
Mr. Cuccinelli, we'll call time there. Thank you very much for your generous time today.
My pleasure, and again, happy Constitution Day.
Same to you, sir. Former Virginia Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli, he's now president of the Senate Conservatives Fund. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.